So, who'd have thought it would end up this way, three or so years after joining? Did you expect that it would end like this?
No, but I am very pleased that it has, to be honest. Not that it's ended, but that we have now, for the first time in the history of BBC Online, a single strategy. Imagine, when I arrived here, we had at least five different strategies for a single service. Now, that doesn't set it up for success. That doesn't set it up for focus, for, you know, high quality online presence. And I think I'm really, really proud that, you know, as an organization with very senior leaders, we've realized that, gotten together, and made sure that we had the best possible people at the most senior levels working together to come up with the answer. So this is not the Eric Huggers business plan. This is not the Mark Thompson business plan. This is not the Rowley Keating business plan. This is the, you know, the plan that was developed in complete partnership with everyone on the Online Direction Group. And so what you get is you get the best of editorial, the best of technology, the best of design, and that's where we excel as an organization, because there are not many broadcasters in the world that have those functions under one roof.
And broadly, it seems that there are two main motivational factors. It's the age of austerity, the BBC's license fees have been frozen, but also maybe legitimately you've come to a realization that there is some pruning that can be done. What do you think is the balance between those two factors?
I think there are, both are valid. I think there is a question of austerity, there is a question of pruning. My sense is, my personal sense is that it veers more towards the pruning than it veers towards the austerity. And if you think back, the announcements around BBC Online that we were going down this path came well before all the austerity, came well before the license fee settlement. Yeah. So as an executive board and as a leadership team of the BBC, we had come to the conclusion that BBC Online had grown like Topsy, was unwieldy, didn't create the sort of value that we associate with the three blocks.
Yeah.
And so I think what we've done is we've come up with a fantastic new plan which creates clarity, which creates direction, sets a vision, both from a technology perspective as well as on an editorial perspective, including design. And I think we'll come out stronger as an organization, we'll come out stronger for license fee payers, we'll come out stronger partnering with the industry, when it comes to market impact, but also partnering with the industry when it comes to external supply.
And the net effect seems to be a strategy, a website that is a lot more, would you say, broadcast-centric than it is right now?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. And I think what has happened in the last 3 years is that through the success of iPlayer and through the continued success of New Sport Weather, BBC Online as a standalone service has earned the right to be an equal to the radio platform and to the television platform. Whereas before, it was just there as a supportive mechanism for the radio and television output. So it's now an equal. It has an equal seat at the table, and it is seen as an equal. And it's hard to argue with that, with a service that has close to 30 million unique users per week in the UK alone. And so I think that what you'll see is that by focusing on 10 very distinctive products, a lot of our colleagues around the business can get out of the hamster wheel of keeping hundreds of different sites going 24/7.
Yeah.
And will actually allow them to innovate and to offer new services of you know, that we haven't seen yet across a wide range of devices and platforms.
So you're closing something like there were 400 top level domains that you've looked at. You're closing half of them.
Half, yes.
Right, so last time I looked through the list, something like half of them were already inactive. They were static. So how many that remained active are being closed now?
I think our commitment stays. You know, out of the 400 plus top TLDs, top level domains directories, at least half will go. And going could mean different things. Going could mean they get archived and they get a moniker that says no longer updated, but here for historical purposes. It could mean it doesn't fit with the quality that we want, and therefore it's going to get removed and deleted. In other cases, it might be that we roll it up the information gets kind of sucked out and represented within one of the 10 products.
Though, I mean, those seem like some of the low-hanging fruit that is possible to pay attention to and move on to another world. And there, I guess there are some higher-hanging fruit that you're getting rid of or changing, scaling back, like the digital radio websites, for example. You're referencing you're going to start automating some content on some of the sites. How does automation work? I mean, whose job or what kinds of roles are you going to be automating?
Well, I think with automation, if you look, for example, at BBC iPlayer today, it is almost entirely feeds driven. Yeah. So this is, these are feeds of metadata which get kind of poured into the iPlayer product. Mm. So I think a very similar approach will be taken for those other websites.
And also building off the programs database and the metadata.
Of course, all that metadata that we have within slash programs and other areas, we'll start to use that in a much smarter way and make, you know, use it to create fantastically exciting, interesting new websites.
I think some people will understand the necessity to cut some websites that perhaps were online-only content that bore no connection with a broadcast show or product. But you're also cutting back some online-only content that does have a direct connection to broadcast services like the 606 message board. I'm not sure if you're a soccer fan, but I think that a lot of people are going to care about that and are going to miss that.
I think 606, it was a standalone message board environment that we decided didn't fit with our five editorial priorities. It wasn't directly linked to anything that we do on air, anything that we do online. And so we don't think it is our job to host those sorts of discussions about, frankly, a particular topic. If it is linked to, you know, output, I think it makes a lot of sense. The area of commenting and the area of allowing people a voice will continue to be very important, but we'll do it in a much more integrated way rather than in a standalone somewhere in a particular corner under some brand.
So you now leave the British winter and head to sunnier climates in California with Intel.
Yes.
What do you think is your legacy from the BBC days?
Well, I hope that my legacy is one where we have, you know, shipped some fantastic new products that have literally changed the course of broadcasting in this country and around the world. iPlayer is a fantastic example. I mean, unparalleled growth on more devices available than anyone else. You know, and I've been able to fix a lot of the things that were broken, and whether that was, you know, R&D not being cared after or looked after, they're now right at the heart of you know, the BBC again, where they absolutely rightfully should be contributing, but also, you know, delivering on promises like the digital media initiative. When I arrived, that wasn't shipping at anything, and right now we're well on track to deliver that. You know, the list goes on and on, but I think overall it's one where we were able to turn, you know, troublesome projects into you know, put them back on track and get them to deliver, and where we ship some of the most amazing consumer propositions out there. But I think last but not least, and this is probably most important piece, is having been able to really put, you know, a fantastically talented team of people together who can actually just pick up where I left off and continue. I mean, when was the last time that the BBC announced a departing executive director and in the same mail announced what the succession story was going to be?
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever happened before. Right. And so I think that's the thing I'm most proud of. Being able to hire someone and put together a fantastic, you know, superb team that just can take off.
And lastly, an exciting future for connected TV over at Intel?
I think so. I think, you know, Intel is one of the biggest and most exciting technology companies in the world. And what interests me is they're absolutely, completely committed to making a difference in the connected entertainment space. Mm. And so my role over there as leading the Digital Home Group is going to give me a great opportunity to take all the lessons that I've learned from my Endemol Microsoft BBC days and apply them to Intel. And for them to go into not only silicon, but software and services is a very interesting and exciting prospect.
Okay, thanks a lot.